The time is 6 o'clock. This is Radio Ghana, the news presented by Lily Defo. In the headlines, district level elections in limbo as EC awaits Supreme Court ruling on writs filed by disqualified candidates. 3,000 outboard motors earmarked for fisheries sector this year as part of measures to reduce high fish import. PPP takes swipe at Parliament for not inviting it to President's State of the Nation address. Police in Siyanyi arrest 7 armed robbers, including a soldier, and U.S. ends Ebola mission in Liberia. The news in detail. The Supreme Court has ordered the Electoral Commission to stop running advertisements on the intended district-level elections scheduled for next Tuesday, pending the outcome of a writ filed at the court. A disqualified aspirant at Winneba, Benjamin Ayimensa, has filed a writ praying the court to annul the organization of the elections on grounds that the EC has contravened the law. According to his lawyer, Alex Apenyo Martin, the EC took a step ahead to open and close nomination for the intended elections when Parliament had not passed CI 85, an act he described as unconstitutional. CI 85 is for the demarcation of electoral areas. Mr. Mensa was denied the opportunity to contest the elections because the EC closed nominations a day before Parliament passed CI 85. The court ordered Mr. Emmanuel Markin to make available copies of a parliamentary document on the passage of CI 85 to the court before its ruling today. Government and the IMF have signed an agreement for $940 million for the provision of financial and technical support for the implementation of the country's homegrown development policies and programs. The three-year economic agreement with the IMF is aimed at overcoming the country's economic challenges, supporting stronger economic growth and lower inflation. Deputy Minister of Finance, Kesel Atufosun, spoke to Radio Ghana.
Let me say that we have not gotten to the stage where we sign agreement with the IMF. What we've been able to achieve today is the fact that we have agreed the program at the fund level. In fact, we have levels of agreement. First of all, the program needs to be agreed at the fund level, mainly with staff and management. And then they will proceed to the board for board agreement before signature. At this stage, we can confirm today that Ghana government have reached an agreement on IMF program at a staff level, which is heavily endorsed by management of the IMF, and it's on its way going to the board sometime next week to 2 weeks, so it will be taken at the board. I can also confirm that they will give us a financial support of 644 SDR special drawing rights. That translates to $940 million, and this is for budget support.
And when does the government expect the IMF board to approve the whole agreement?
We expect that in a matter of 2 weeks, Ghana's program will go to the board and the board will approve that.
So for government, this is a major step?
It is indeed a major, major step, because what we should understand is that the fund will not agree something that they are not sure will pass the board. Obviously, management are also part of the board. So before they agree something, then it should be something that in principle the board will approve.
What does this mean to the government?
Well, that's a good news. We believe that's a wonderful news. You see, one good thing about this IMF program is not what you get in the balance of payment, but a signaling effect. The fact that it will help you pay little or reduce how much you pay off your debt. The fact that it will encourage some development partners to give you some grants. The fact that all of our multi-donor budget support partners will go a long way, I believe, to support the macroeconomic stability that we're all looking for.
Already there are talks that the government is borrowing too much and is going to have a telling effect. And with this announcement, what message would you like to give to Ghanaians in respect of this particular agreement with the IMF?
Let me say that obviously the borrowings are very much connected to the deficit that we run. As long as we are going through fiscal consolidation, we expect the borrowing to reduce. In the sense that last year, for instance, we did a budget deficit of 9.5% of GDP. Currently, the last budget that we sent to Parliament, we are looking at bringing the deficit down to 5.3% of GDP on cash basis. This means that we are very much doing fiscal consolidation, and then the borrowing, as we are talking about, will reduce. However, we should also understand that we have projected going forward to 2017 to bring the deficit to 3.5% of GDP. This in itself is a major step, it's a bold step, very ambitious, that will go a long way to bring the debt down, as we were talking about.
With this agreement, what message does it send to the international community, especially the investor community out there?
I've already seen the financial market reacting to this wonderful news on Ghana. For instance, the yield on our Eurobond has reduced by 2.2%, obviously rewarding individuals who took a risk, in quotes, in buying government of Ghana bond. I would say that the financial market will indeed see this as a wonderful news. And to a very large extent, we feel that this will go a long way to help us going back to the financial market to get a cheaper source of finance, and that will help our national development. So it's a wonderful news. It's good news for us, good news for the financial market, and this is all what everybody is looking for.
Coming back home, for the Ghanaian, what is in it for him or her in this particular agreement?
For the average Ghanaian, I would say that an average Ghanaian cares very much on economic stability, because stability is the key. Stability is everything. You see, the man on the street wants to obviously go and buy something today at price 1 cedi and go back there 2 weeks later to get it at the same price 1 cedi, or at worst 1 cedi, 10 pesos. In any case, if you see this kind of stability, it helps prices of goods and services, and obviously it helps everybody to plan going forward. And then also your take-home income, your consumption income, very much protected. What we're saying is that this will bring the stability that the average Ghanaian want, the stability that some time ago when the city was depreciating that more or less eluded us. Today, we'll be viewed that this IMF program will bring the macroeconomic stability that we've all talked about, particularly in areas of inflation and particularly in areas of depreciation of the city. We see the city.
Deputy Minister of Finance, Kefil Atuhfosun, talking to CES Ahia. The Ministry of Trade and Industry will soon launch a national campaign for Made in Ghana products and services. This is to help boost the export of Ghanaian products and reduce importation, thereby earning more foreign exchange for Ghana. At a media interaction in Accra, the sector minister, Ecos Phil Gabra, tasked the steering committee to ensure that Ghanaians change their perception about Made in Ghana products. Roslyn Ganyaglu reports.
The Trade and Industry Minister, Ecos Phil Gabra, said the ministry remains committed to ensuring that Ghanaian products are patronized widely both in Ghana and abroad. He pointed out that local patronage is the surest way the national economy can be improved and the local currency strengthened.
We hope through this campaign to increase Ghana's export production. We hope through this campaign to expand our industrial base, to reduce the volume and value and cost of our imports. And we hope through this campaign to also benefit from the psychological and spiritual dimension of Ghanaians feeling proud about themselves in producing a wide range of goods and services that we either consume or have to export. The campaign is also intended to take steps as would improve the quality and the standards of Made in Ghana goods so that they become more attractive to the consuming public. But above all, the Made in Ghana Goods Committee also needs to get Ghanaians to change their perception about Made in Ghana products in order to drive and increase the demand for Made in Ghana goods and services.
The president of the Advertisers Association of Ghana, Joel Netty, said there's a need to conscientize people in order to succeed. He called for appropriate systems to enhance the production of Ghanaian-made products of good quality.
It's a good thing to want to make Made in Ghana goods. I think that we should conscientize our people to have that paradigm shift that moves us in that direction. And there are also real issues that we have to address to be able to be successful. Talk about distribution. I want to buy something Made in Ghana. I can't find this particular ticket, car, and down to a particular shop that is XYZ. Ease of access. This will be a real consideration. And I think that with a movement like this, that involves the producer, that involves us advertising people, that involves the consumer, that can put together a plan that will be successful. So it's a long-term commitment. If we all put our shoulders to the wheel, once again, the other thing that happens, unfortunately, is that so one government starts it, another government comes, and just because a previous government started it, it doesn't make sense.
For his part, the GJA president, Roland Afomoni, pledged the association's support for the campaign. Cost and availability dominated the discussions during an open forum. Participants, mainly media practitioners, called for structures to be put in place to ensure that Ghanaian products are available and affordable.
Roslyn Ganyaglo reporting. Fishermen across the country will this year benefit from 3,000 outboard motors as one of the measures by government to reduce the huge importation of fish by at least 20%. Demand for fish outweighs supply by 50%. President John Mahama announced this in Parliament whilst outlining key policies for the agriculture, industry and services sectors in the State of the Nation address. Pascaline Adadevo reports.
Agriculture undoubtedly remains the mainstay of the country's economy, and government has resolved to invest substantially in that sector to ensure food security and enable farmers to enjoy the fruit of their labor. Government says it will distribute 180,000 metric tons of fertilizer to farmers as part of the Agric Mechanization Program. Districts across the country will benefit from about 1,000 tractors and other farm inputs like harvesters, threshers, planters and sprayers. The rice production subsector alone has received 22 million Ghana cedis, whilst 120 million Ghana cedis has been made available to the rice, poultry, share, cashew and other agro-processing subsectors to build their production. In the cocoa sector, production went up by 62% in the 2014-2015 cocoa season. The Ghana Cocoa Board hopes to continue its free fertilizer application program to boost the morale of cocoa farmers. The board is also distributing 50 million improved cocoa seedlings free of charge to farmers. President Mahama encourages the youth to see agriculture as a business rather than a way of life. One young cocoa farmer who seemed to have caught the eye of the president is Samuel Toby from Asunsenchem in the central region. President Mahama indeed invited young Samuel Toby as a special guest as he delivered his address to the nation.
The cocoa industry continues to play a pivotal role in our economy. On the occasion of the second anniversary of my administration last month, I spent the day in the cocoa growing community of Asunsenchem in the central region. I was on the farm of a young cocoa farmer, Samuel Toby, and his enthusiastic young friends who have all taken to cocoa farming. I felt encouraged that there's an emerging young generation of cocoa farmers who will take over from the older generation. I requested Cocoa Board to unveil a program to acquire land to engage more young people in cocoa farming.
On fisheries, President Mahama reiterated government's commitment to prop up the sector using aquaculture. Statistics show that more than 60% of protein found in the diets of Ghanaians is fish. Sadly, the fishery sector is unable to meet the demand. Aquaculture development seems to be the way forward in bridging the 50% deficit.
Government is determined to bridge the 50% deficit through aquaculture development and the expansion of family fish farming across the entire coast and inland water communities of this country. Among other measures, government will this year facilitate the acquisition of 3,000 outboard motors for our fishermen. A new fisheries cold store has also been completed in New Takrady for the storage and preservation of fish. Work is also progressing on the fish processing factory at Elmina, and I've asked Maslok to put together a revolving fund for the benefit of our fishmongers along the fishing communities.
What is heartwarming is that government's campaign to get more youth into agriculture is yielding positive results. President Mahama announced that since the 10 million Ghana cedis Youth Enterprise Support Yes initiative was launched in August last year, about 2,000 applications have been received. Out of this, 45% are applications for business startups in agriculture and agribusiness.
Pascaline Adadevo reports. And meanwhile, the majority NDC and minority NPP have reacted differently to the State of the Nation address presented by the President. The NDC applauded the President for presenting the true state of the nation, especially on efforts the government is making to address the energy crisis and the numerous ongoing development projects and programs in spite of the economic challenges prevailing in the country. However, the minority NPP said it was another opportunity to deceive Ghanaians.
We answered the questions that are agitating the minds of people. One of them is that we have taken too many loans, we have taken too many resources, and there is nothing to show for them. Pictorially, you saw what is being done in the health sector. In the health sector, you saw the numerous health facilities that are being constructed. The President has indicated clearly that even in the case of health, it is not just hospitals and medical. medicine. It is providing good water, providing travel time shortness for people to access health care. This overall picture that he has painted gives me the feeling that Ghanaians know we have a president. He is on course to deliver on his promises.
I was highly impressed. I mean, the content and the mode of delivery was fantastic, especially when he touched on the issues affecting my constituency, the cocoa. He spoke extensively about the producer price and the very things that the government is doing to sustain the cocoa sector, the free cocoa seedlings, those who are into it, raising the seedlings, the treasure spoke, and they are reality. If you go to my constituency, for example, we have not less than 3 points in the constituency where people have been employed to raise the seedlings. We talked about Sekinkwanta, Adiembra, and then you talk about Jato. These are realities. People are there raising the seedlings. And he also spoke about the cocoa road. And I am happy. I had not less than 3 of my road network mentioned in the present state of the nation's address. In fact, some of them, they are already on site and they are working. And so I think that it gives us some hope. And I am really impressed about the state of the nation.
The president clearly indicated that we are going to revenue from oil is going to be short. We also have from reliable sources that current cocoa production has been far less than 50%. There are so many things that are going against us. For the president to enumerate all these projects as something that he's going to do within the shortest possible time, I don't think it's something that can be there. So you are misleading the country. And it is very sad that in the face of this power outage that we are going through, for which there was even an emphasis today that the challenge is becoming too much, and we might even experience a worse side of this. I don't think it is just telling us the truth as a country. It is misleading us. I'm not happy about it.
I don't think you were told what our current indebtedness is, what our GDP rate today is, what our debt to GDP ratio is. These are the things that will tell us the state of the economy. So that if you get this, then you will know that yes, we are moving forward, or no, we are not moving forward. So to some of us, if you look at the plethora of the presentation, the kind of thing that the president told us, it's more like setting an agenda for 2016, because the president was clear. We are building this, we are going to build this, and we want to build this, and it's all there to us election. So that's the way some of us look at it.
You heard views of the majority NDC and the minority MPP on the President's State of the Nation address. A political science lecturer at the University of Ghana, Dr. Evans Agre-Dako, also says President Mahama's State of the Nation address to Parliament contained all the major issues confronting the country. He mentioned corruption, the power crisis, excessive politicization of national issues as examples of some of the things that need the collective support of everybody. He also agreed with the President's call on the people to have hope and confidence in the people they have entrusted power to and not raise their hands in despair. Dr. Agre-Dako was commenting on the State of the Nation address.
Because one critical issue that came up and which I found very significant is the fact that he, especially with regards to Ebola, that through the delay in the response, you know, to this serious problem was a result of lack of international crisis management system. And that's what he said he's going to propose together with, I think, Angela Merkel and the Norwegian leader to be able to push for something like that, and which I found very critical. If you look at one of the bills that I found very interesting to be the conduct of public officers bill, if that bill is passed and we really will live up to the tenets of the bill, I think it will shape the conduct of our office holders and so on. For them to appreciate that they are not just in gods, but they are servants of the state and they must deliver outside. Of course, issues of corruption, very significant. Accountability in government, as I said, because he highlighted how we are retooling the judiciary office and among others and all that, the district assembly elections. Of course, he also mentioned the role that Afarijan Ghana has played over the years, and the fact that he is going to bow out of public office, which is very critical. Ending it up all up by calling on all of us to have all hands on deck and show unity of purpose, eschew cynicism and excessive partisanship, which I think are very critical issues that he raised in there. You reckon that if we are not optimistic and we always think that we live in a state of hopelessness, then there is a tendency that we would not even be able to deliver, as it were, you know, put in the effort, the energy that we know ought to put in to salvage this nation and make it much more prosperous.
Lecturer at the Department of Political Science of the University of Ghana, Dr. Agre Darko. And in Parliament yesterday, the minority MPP wore black attire with red ties and red armbands to register their displeasure over the energy crisis and the prevailing harsh economic conditions. The MPs also, for the first time since 1993, sat quietly and listened attentively throughout the President's presentation of the State of the Nation Address. Sekeyia reports.
The three-time flag bearer of the MPP, Nanado Danko Akufo-Addo, attended the State of the Nation Address for the first time in a couple of years. He was accompanied by his running mate, Dr. Mahamudu Bawumia. While Nanado, an MP for 12 years, wore navy black suit over white long sleeve shirt, Dr. Bawumia wore a light blue kaftan. This was, however, in sharp contrast to the black attire worn by the minority MPP MPs. They all filed up to the public gallery to welcome Nanado and his running mate to the house. The minority leader of HMN Sabonsu explained why they were in the black attire when the Speaker of Parliament, Edwardo Ajaho, invited him to second the motion moved by the majority leader, Urban Bagbin, for the adjournment of sitting. A copy of the NDC manifesto lying on Mr. Mensabonsu's table caught the eagle eyes of the Speaker.
Honorable Minority Leader, I saw NDC manifesto on your table. Thank you very much, Speaker, for the opportunity to second the motion moved by the Majority Leader, who is in a white cap. Jessica, I am black, and majority of my compatriots are in black. A symbolism of it, Mr. Speaker. His Excellency says that a nation is in distress. This is doom, doom.
Unlike last year when President Mahama wore a three-piece kaftan, this time it was a smock over a pair of trousers and stood for about 3 hours to deliver the State of the Nation Address. Every achievement, projects or programs announced by President Mahama were greeted with yeah, yeah by the majority, almost all of whom were in white attire. President Mahama acknowledged the presence of Nanado in the course of his delivery and hoped to invite him when he cut short for the construction of a number of road projects in the Chebbi area in the Eastern Region on the 4th of next month. Nanado reciprocated the gesture amid the shout of yeah, yeah by the majority. Conspicuously missing from the public gallery were former President J.J. Rawlings and his successor John Ejekum Kufo. Sekeyia reporting for Radio Ghana.
Meanwhile, the PPP is taking Parliament on for not inviting the party to witness the President's State of the Nation Address. A statement signed by its National Secretary, Kofi Asamoah-Sian, said it feels very disappointed that no official invitation was sent to it under the pretext that the PPP has no representation in Parliament. The statement added that such decisions by Parliament is disappointing and discriminatory. It adds that the introduction of such unconstitutional elements by governmental, state or public institutions to discriminate against some political parties must stop. According to the statement, the role of the PPP in sustaining the multi-party democratic process in the country cannot be overlooked. It therefore urged Parliament to ensure at all times a level playing field for all political parties and not to give priority to only parties with representation in Parliament. This news comes to you from Radio Ghana, Accra. The major stories: district level elections in limbo as EC awaits Supreme Court ruling on writ filed by disqualified candidates. 3,000 outboard motors earmarked for fisheries sector this year as part of measures to reduce high fish import. PPP takes swipe at Parliament for not inviting it to President's State of the Nation Address. Police in Siyanyi arrest 7 armed robbers, including a soldier, and U.S. ends Ebola mission in Liberia. Please. Welcome back. The Sunyani police patrol team have arrested 6 hardened armed robbers, including a soldier, at the Yaohima police barrier in the Sunyani municipality. Bonafu Regional Crime Officer Superintendent Alaji Mahama Ahin told Newspan in Sunyani that the police, upon a tip-off, arrested the robbers in a taxi cab at 3 a.m. on their return from an operation at Wenchi. We bring you the details in this report.
The suspects were Sharif Adams, also known as Alhaji Fresh, age 31, Staff Sergeant Al-Hassan Hamid, 42, and in active military service at the Garrison 3 in Sunyani. Osei Kufo, age 32, Kwajo Francis, 35, Esmond Belwa, 27, and Kwabna Yabua, 32. Superintendent Ahin explained that they went into the Wenchi branch of the Bunahafo Catholic Cooperative Society for Development, tied the watchman up and broke into the premises and stole money and some items in the premises. They later dumped the watchman at the outskirts of the town. He said an unspecified amount of money, 4 mobile phones, 2 pistols, knives, crowbar, a military uniform, cartridges and other offensive weapons were found on them. Superintendent Ahin confirmed that Hamid and Francis were also identified by their victim, Tunguru Abu, an Ivorian who they robbed when he arrived in Kumasi on Tuesday, the 25th of this month. He said the 5 were arrested and remanded in prison custody for some time, but they were granted bail by a circuit court at Fiapre near Sunyani. Superintendent Ahin said the group, after their bail, also robbed some financial companies in the region, including the Dema Rural Bank, the Sunyani Agency, and the Bichim Agency of the Boma Rural Bank. He therefore appealed to the public to come out and identify the suspected armed robbers to assist the police in their investigations. Superintendent Ahin said they will be arraigned before court today.
And that was a Newsdex report on the arrest of 6 armed robbers, including a soldier, at Sunyani. In foreign news, the U.S. has staged a military ceremony to end its 5-month Ebola mission in Liberia as the nation recovers from the worst-ever outbreak of the virus. The 2,800 force has been gradually scaled back since the epidemic began to recede. The mission commander, Major General Gary Voleski, said the progress is also about Liberians being able to get back to a normal way of life. The Pentagon says around 100 U.S. troops are to remain in the region to strengthen disease preparedness and surveillance capacity of local governments. Now to win the news, the main points again. The district-level elections are in limbo as the EC awaits a Supreme Court ruling on a writ filed by a disqualified candidate. 3,000 outboard motors have been earmarked for the fisheries sector this year as part of measures to reduce high fish imports. The PPP has taken a swipe at Parliament for not inviting us to the President's State of the Nation address. Police in Sunyani have arrested 7 armed robbers, including a soldier. And the U.S. has ended its Ebola mission in Liberia. But